And this is my title. And I declare that I have no financial relationships or commercial relationships with this presentation, which is a pity, but it's true. Okay. So what's the problem? We have very large populations in developing countries with limited access to healthcare. Poverty is widespread, particularly a lot of these people are in urban areas. Infant, neonatal and maternal health problems persist. In the presence now of very large numbers of NCDs and mental health on top of that. So if we... Turning back a bit. So if you look at the world population, we see here in... Look at the top two lines, the green line and the red line. And look at the vertical line there, 2020, we see by that time there will be over 3 billion people in both rural and urban areas. A big thing which people forget is how much of the underprivileged populations live in urban areas in developing countries. There's good evidence now, both in terms of provider-focused and community-focused healthcare delivery, that healthcare can be delivered effectively at the community level. And I've just mentioned two overarching studies there, and I won't talk about them in detail at this stage. We'll get back to that later if you want to. And for example, in relationship to respiratory disease, here is a list of the range of studies that show that acute respiratory disease can be effectively managed technically at the community level. I can give you similar tables for the range of common diseases. So we need community health workers. Okay? Modern technology will help, but it's not enough. And we need community participation. And I'll talk more about that on the next slide. So we need community health workers. But how are we going to motivate them to practice well? How are we going to afford the numbers that are needed? And how are we going to sustain them? Okay, we have a lot of good technical evidence that you can manage the common diseases at the community level. But technical information is not enough. Okay? How can we, if you've got a good way of managing respiratory disease, for example, how can you get that effectively implemented in the community? Efficacy and effectiveness studies might show that this can be done, but unless you get the community participation in terms of useless services and healthy behavioural change approaches, then you won't produce sustainable results. And in this process of getting community health workers to practice, we need to, for example, motivate not only health professionals, but community health workers and community. And here I'll just focus on community health workers. So H.K. Pink has written a book called Drive, and I'm going to concentrate on that. And in his book, he shows quotes a range of studies which show that financial compensation is enough for motivation. We need to move beyond just the financial. We need to deal with things like autonomy, mastery, and purpose to get good performance. Pay will make you turn up and make you perhaps perform menial tasks, but it won't encourage you to perform well. So Pink talks about drive in three terms: biological, extrinsic reward, and intrinsic reward. So extrinsic reward is what we all know a lot about, reward and punishment. Intrinsic reward is about the reward which comes from the joy and satisfaction of completing a task successfully. What is the limitations of extrinsic reward? The research shows that it's good for unrelenting, routine and mechanical or boring tasks, but not for quality and commitment. Just a punishment-reward approach can crush creativity, encourage cheating, use of shortcuts, unethical behaviour and foster short-term goals. So people will turn up because they get paid, but that doesn't mean they'll perform well. That doesn't mean they'll stay around if the money goes away. Intrinsic reward then has these three components: autonomy, mastery and purpose. Autonomy is all about giving people a say in what they do, when they do it, who they do it with and how they do it. That doesn't mean to say that you cannot also have good clinical treatment. Okay, you have the technical aspect, but within that you can design things so people have autonomy over what they do. Mastery is about people, as they work, they see that their skills are improving. And purpose is all about helping people address why they're doing this in terms of self-fulfillment, perhaps in terms of their self-image, perhaps in terms of their status in the community or their family. So in practice, what does this mean? How do we get happy health workers? So for community health workers, we need to provide the basics: training, supervision and supplies. But we don't necessarily have to pay everyone. We need to pay people according to the amount of skills they have and the hours in which they work. Let's talk about some specific examples of this. Here I'm going to talk about care groups. So what are care groups? Care groups are a community-based strategy for improving coverage and behavioural change. They're now widely used, usually begin with NGOs and in many cases are sustained there. But most recently they can also be incorporated into national programs. And this, for example, happened in Rwanda. And I'll refer you later to a website on Tom Davis if you want to get a lot more details. So let's look at this. So we have promoters. These are the people that are paid. These are the only people that are paid. These promoters train these people, which are the lead mothers. Each promoter trains five care groups, which are led by these lead mothers. And each of these lead mothers, in turn, educates and motivates pregnant mothers and those with young children in terms of identifying the common illnesses and getting urgent care for them. Okay, so here you start with one paid person and you end up with all these mothers who are involved. So each care group meets with a promoter for 1 to 2 hours every 2 weeks for revision and new information. Each lead mother meets with her 11 to 12 beneficiaries once during the following 2 weeks. And the only incentives involved then for the lead mothers, for example, are skirts and bicycles for those which are trained in CIMCI, which is Community Integrated Management of CIMCI, Integrated Management of Childhood Illnesses. So what are the results that these care groups achieve? So here we have a series of results of under 5 mortality measured in term through the Life Saved calculator. We won't go into that in great detail at this stage. And we see there that the average at the end here, which is circled, is an improvement over 5 years of under 5 mortality of 18%. Whereas the first 3 projects there, circled in purple, achieved much better results. Just looking at some more detailed results, particularly in relationship to the Food for Hungry project in Mozambique. This project achieved a 30% reduction in childhood mortality at an affordable cost. 65 workers were paid. 4,100 care group volunteers were involved, and a population of 1.1 million were covered. 93% of workers were retained, and on four-year follow-up after the end of the five-year project, measurements of EPI coverage and ORS use had actually increased. They'd been maintained and increased. Okay. Just to give you another example, this is a project in Benin, which I actually led the final evaluation for about 3 months ago. So these are preliminary results. So this is a USAID-funded MSH project, and after 3 years, 1,500 community health workers were trained. So just focusing on that part of the evaluation, which dealt with internal motivation in terms of purpose, mastery and autonomy. The community health workers themselves were actually chosen by their communities. These were people who had status within the community, and on focus group follow-up, these people felt motivated to look after the community, whether they were paid or not. I won't go into the details too much. A mastery process was developed in which they gave peer feedback to improve their skills, and the autonomy element was that the community workers had a say in how they practiced. The government, in turn, was coming along with a pay incentive approach. So what the government was going to do was pay them 10,000 CFA per month, and an extra 5,000 CFA per month in terms of the number of cases they achieved, and they still. So in summary, moving along, I hope I've given you an insight into intrinsic motivation can be used and designed into projects to give results at affordable costs. So I've put down a couple of links there. The first one is to the International Health Section website, and if you go in there and look under community-based primary health care, there's a report of a workshop we ran last year which all focused on community health worker motivation. The other site to go to is caregroupinfo.org, and if you go through that site and you need more detailed information about care groups, that'll connect you to Dr. Davis, or you can indeed email me. So I might stop there now. What I want to do is hold all questions to the end to make sure I give enough time for all the other speakers. So thank you very much.